I'm digging splinters out of my gums again. The closest music store carries only cheap reeds, and Mom and Dad won't pay shipping for something that weighs practically nothing. The end result is me leaning over the girls' bathroom sink with Brooke's tweezers, trying to focus on the sliver by my canine rather than on my best friend's morbid fascination with the process. "Some space?" I ask, pulling back from the mirror. It's hard enough to do this without her shoulder rubbing against mine. "Sorry, Sasha," she says. "It's just so gross." Which is exactly why she's leaning in. That's the kind of girl Brooke is. She'll pop the zits you can't reach and offer to skin everyone else's cat in bio. But the downside of having that for a friend is that she's also intensely interested in any open wounds you might have. I'm back up against the mirror, my breath fogging exactly where I need to see before she speaks again. "I've never even heard of people getting reed splinters in their gums." She lets her sentence die out, like I'm supposed to provide a more likely explanation for the slivers of bone-white wood that work their way out of my gums. "Reeds break," I shrug, "and no one else practices as much as I do." Brooke nods in the mirror, because there's no point arguing about that. I arch an eyebrow at her, and she shrugs, letting me know she won't interrupt again. I pull down my lower lip, resting the tweezers on the callus that's developed on the inside. The latest splinter is barely poking through, a hard white tip in a sea of soft pink. Getting a good grip on them is always the worst part. Each near miss creates a scraping noise I can feel as well as hear, a tiny vibration that passes through the roots of my teeth. But leaving it there isn't an option. The last time I ignored one, I got an infection and couldn't play for a week, after which Charity Newell challenged me for first chair. I retained my seat, but she looked oddly hopeful afterward, so I hadn't crushed her. I pinched down on the tweezers at the right moment, the tip of the splinter flattening under the pressure. Behind me, I hear Brooke taking a deep breath as I pull, the end finally coming free, the tiny round hole in my gum filling with a dot of blood. I run my tongue over it, the tang of copper fading quickly. Brooke takes her tweezers back from me, inspecting the tiny fleck of wood still stuck on the end. "Does it hurt?" she asks. I rinse my mouth out with water and do a quick check to see if there are more. "No," I tell her, which is sort of true. Like a lot of things, it only hurts if you let it. Brooke keeps an eye on me throughout lunch, like she thinks I'm going to cough up a femur or something. We're at our normal table, tucked into a corner where the band geeks and literal drama queens find a measure of peace. We can talk about wet versus dry embouchure without any unwanted sexual innuendo from idiots, and the word thespian gets by without giggles. Which is not to say that we don't have our own brand of shortcomings. If I hear one more joke about Heath's trombone... "God, take a shower, Harver," Lily says, but her eyes show something less than disgust as they follow Isaac Harver across the cafeteria. Brooks, too.
"That's easily 3 days, no wash. Maybe 5, Brooks says.
"You would know," Lily says, rubbing the tips of her squeaky clean blonde curls between her fingers.
"2 weeks, baby."
Brooke flips double V's for victory toward the football player's table. She hasn't let them live down the 8th grade bet to see who could go the longest without showering. They ignore her, so she decides to pester Lily instead.
"Like you'd pass up the chance to shower with Isaac," she says.
Lily's narrowed eyes are still on him as he flops into a seat at the table by the window, the one that all the stoners claimed at the beginning of the year and no one had the guts to oust them from. "Is there a pre-rinse involved?" Lily asks, and Brooke busts out laughing.
"Oh my God, you whore."
I smack down my spoon, not caring that chili splatters across Brooke's sweater. "Do you mind?"
"What?"
Her eyes are wide and confused, but Brooke can't quite pull off total innocence. She knows exactly what she did. "You should watch your language," I tell her. "One day it's going to bite you in the butt."
"I think you mean ass,"
Brooke says, and Lily ducks her head so I can't see her smiling, but I know she is.
"Seriously, Brooke? Remember when Miss Upton dropped the F-bomb at band camp?"
"That one time," Brooke adds, and Lily can't smother her laugh. "That joke needs to die already."